Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we're continuing our series called Do No Ham, which I've told you is the only time that you can expect a misprint to be on purpose. I'm good at a lot of things, and details is not one of them. And so you'll see that we say do not ham here. Well, there's this Methodist saying called do no harm. It's not just Methodists, it's a lot of people. But one of the ones that we hold on to is do no harm. But a couple of friends of mine were getting together and they were writing out some sermon ideas, and one of them was called do no harm. And someone misread it and it said do no ham to them. And they're like, what is that about, like Levitical law? And it isn't. You can eat ham. Good news. Rejoice, the Lord has given you pig. But instead, we saw it as a jumping off point for us to explore what it means to misunderstand the Bible, adventures in misunderstanding. Because there are a lot of things that get blamed on the Bible, friends, a lot. There's a lot of instances where we'll say things that are well-intentioned, that sound biblical. Last week, we talked about how a lot of people will say, God won't give you more than you can handle. Raise your hand if someone has ever told you, God won't give you more than you can handle. A well-intentioned thing that sounds biblical, and it isn't. It is not in the Bible, and that's what we talked about last week. If you weren't able to be here, you can go back and listen to our podcast. I did my best to explain why it's not in the Bible at all. But today I want to talk about something that I think is a little bit more intrinsic, something that's a little bit more baked into our lives. As we continue our series on misunderstanding the Bible, we arrive at an idea that makes the most sense to us as human beings. We see this world as a balancing act between good and evil. And that balancing act between good and evil leads to the idea of karma. The idea that we can create and do things in our lives that make it possible for better things to happen to us, or maybe on the flip side of it, the people that do bad things, the people that make us upset, make us angry, break our hearts, they're going to have bad things happen to them. It gives us a sense of control. Today, as we continue to do no ham, I wonder what it might look like if we could have something better than karma from the gospel for us. The burden you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. That's the thing I'm going to say a lot today, the thing that I hope gets stuck in your head. I hope you can hear this today, and you can write it down in your bulletin, or if you want to take digital notes, you can go to our website and click on the sermon notes button, and you can type this in. The burden you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. So karma, it's a thing that we hold on to. Karma is this belief that when you are good or when you're bad, either will be visited upon you. You see, we do good, we get good. We do bad and we get bad. This is a very easy sort of explanation, makes a lot of sense. It can feel really, really good. And we get a sort of balance then between good and bad. As we add more to the good, more good things happen to us. You know, we leave a penny, take a penny, and then we get better parking, right? You know, we round up to the nearest dollar and we, you know, get a better tax refund. There's this sort of thing that if I can do a good thing, then I'll receive a good thing. This week, Monday morning, I was trying to, you know, do my hot girl walk, and I went out to go down to the lake, and about 20 minutes in, I get a phone call telling me I need to go back home. It's not good when you've just left, you know, 20 minutes ago and there's already a new problem that didn't exist before. So I come back and the plumbing in our house is not working. As the French would say, it broke. It is not working at all. You ever rented an electric snake before? It's not nearly as fun as it sounds. It is not good for parties. And boy, oh boy. I called the plumber that did our plumbing for our house, the addition that we put on our house, and he said, I retired. And I was like, I get it. And then Tuesday, I don't know if you saw, this is a bit of a deep cut, but if you looked in the front lawn, there's this one spot where the grass has grown up a lot. That's because your preacher left his car there this week, and the mower couldn't get underneath where his Honda Civic, not to brag, 2010, was stuck because his battery was dead. And so I got to go to everyone's favorite place, Interstate Battery, a memorial. Honestly, if you need a battery, go to Interstate. Use code Shepherds for 20% off. That won't work. So I had to get a new battery. So I came down here and I installed a new battery. And then so I used the electric snake to fix the plumbing. We'll get to the sermon eventually. Y'all have to deal with this therapy. I'll pay my copay on the way out. A new problem with the plumbing arose. And so I got to do more plumbing. And I didn't go to trade school. I went to seminary. And they don't have plumbing classes. And so I got to, you know, I'll spare you the details. But it was gross. And it wasn't something I wanted to do. Here's what I'm driving at. If karma is real, I did something terrible at some point. This week has shown me that if karma is real, I have to change my life. Because if it could go wrong, it did. Like, I have a hangnail. Like, you know, like, what did I do? What did I do? But karma is this sort of thing that kind of springs up within us emotionally, in our minds, something that makes a lot of sense to us. We do good, we get good. We do bad, we get bad. We get this sort of balance then. As we add more good things happen. But we also trust that the people that we despise or do things that we despise will have those things visited upon them. We want them to fall and chip their tooth. We want the people that hurt us to feel that pain. But friends, today I'm going to say this a lot, and I hope it gets stuck in your head, that the burden you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. Today we did something a little bit different. I had some friends read scripture for me. The reason why I wanted to do that is just to kind of change things up. I don't want us to get too set in our ways. My friend Lee, some of you know Lee, he leads our Bible basics class. He very jokingly said, we can't change anything. This is how we've always done it. And I was like, Lee, you've been here for 6 months. Calm down. But it's good to change things up a little bit. But we had two verses today, and I don't know if you could catch this, but it seemed as if they had two different sort of hearts behind them. The psalm I feel kind of in my bones sometimes, right? Oh God of vengeance, avenge me, you know? Like that's what I want to see. I want to see that sort of vengeance visited upon those that harm the good. And wouldn't you know it, I'm the good, right? I want vengeance to be visited upon it. The Psalms is a collection of prayers and songs written attributed to King David. King David had a lot of problems in his life, many of his own creation, others visited upon him just because of reality. And in the Psalms, we find his broken heart written out line by line, calling out to God, begging for God to show up in the way that he wanted to. Students of the Bible, you'll know that the letter to the Romans has a passage that says to leave room for God's vengeance. Vengeance is not a word you say very often, but when you do, you mean it, right? Romans there says that we need to leave space for God to even the score. You see, it's human nature to want to get even. But today I want you to hear that the gospel offers something more, something better. Because the burden you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. I went to seminary. Seminary is like grad school for pastors. It's one academic year less than medical doctors. It's too much. But one of the classes that I had to, that I got to take at my seminary was on Hinduism. I had to take two classes on different religions. I took one on the Tao and one on Hinduism. And it was one academic course about Hinduism, so obviously didn't get all the theology, the intricacies. What I did get out of it was joy that I found faith in Christ, because that's one God. And Hinduism has like a lot more, and it's hard to kind of keep them straight. But the idea of karma comes from Hinduism, this idea of balance. But in Hinduism, the idea of karma is not how we might colloquially use it. Just like the idea of yoga. Yoga is not stretching in Hinduism. Yoga is all of the things that you do to work out your karma. You see, in Hinduism, karma isn't bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. It's a weight that you're born with. It's a weight that's on your shoulders from a previous life that you carry into this life. And so your whole life is a practice of yoga, working out that karma, following your dharma, the plan that God has, the gods have for you, and working that karma off of you. It's a little bit like losing weight, except it's psychic, it's emotional, it's social, it's religious. It's a burden. And I think sometimes we hold on to the idea of karma because we can't forgive ourselves for the things that we carry. Now, we blame it on other people that harm us, or the good things that we do. We think we deserve a special treat, or we want something better because we're good people. We don't want to have to rent an electric snake. We want to, you know, just have plumbing that works all the time, right? And we want those good things because we are good people. This burden of karma has followed us into the gospel. Under karma, our lives become a practice of unloading our own burden. But hear this good news, friends. The burden you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. We get stuck in this revenge cycle. We want fairness. I have two older sisters, and they are 11 months apart. And I saw the world court in session pretty much every day of my whole life when they were around. You know, it seemed like my parents' jobs were to wake up early in the morning and make sure that Nikki and Marissa got the same thing at all moments, right? And then I showed up as the baby, and I got everything. It was great. If you can help it, be born as the youngest. It's awesome. It's great. It's amazing. It helps if they're like, you know, a lot older than you. Hi, Nikki. But the fairness that we have is something that's born within us as little people, as children. We want to see fairness. Fairness is a balance. And so when we live in this life and bad things happen to us, that doesn't feel fair. And when good things happen to us, that feels fine. We're happy with that. But when good things happen to people that we don't like, that's not fair. I don't think, you know, there's something within us. I don't want the people that I don't like to have good things happen to them. We want fairness. We demand God take the eye from the eye of the one who has harmed us. We want fairness, and God brings justice. And I wake up a lot of times not wanting that. I just want fairness. I want it to be fair. I want to get what I want. I want there to be fairness. But this is called retributive justice. The problem with retributive justice is that it just ends up making more victims. Someone steals something from you and someone else steals that back. And now two people have been robbed. One of them deserved it, but more victims are created. This retributive cycle of revenge creates more victims, and it creates deeper and deeper imbalances. It feels right and good to seek God's karma, but the gospel gives us something more. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings freedom. Justice brings about freedom. It releases us from this cycle of wanting to see someone else get punished for the pain that we suffer. It's a burden that we put on our shoulders, but the burden that we carry has been lifted. Friends, we have to stop trying to carry it. And so we invite karma into our lives in a lot of ways, and that's what karma becomes for us, becomes a burden. We become bound to the scales of fairness instead of being released to freedom. We put on the black robe of judgment, and it's too heavy for our shoulders. We spend a lot of our time thinking about the people that have harmed us instead of knowing that God's justice is on its way. It doesn't look like fairness. It looks like so much more. Because the rain comes to both of us, the righteous and the unrighteous. Instead of the justice of the broken, we get offered the grace of Christ. You see, the burden that we carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. So why does this matter? Well, here's the thing. It's nice to say, forgive others, right? It feels good. It's a thing that we can say with a felt board. But as I was leaving church at our other campus, someone pulled me aside and said, hey, how can I forgive them? And the way that they said that, I knew that it was something that had been weighing on them for a long time. And I'm talking to people as they're walking by, and I'm like, all right, you went to seminary for this. You learned about Hinduism, didn't learn about plumbing. You should be able to answer this. And what I could say was that forgiveness is often not about forgetting. It is never about forgetting the harm that has been done to you. It is about freeing yourself. Because forgiveness replaces the reality that those that harm us live rent-free in our minds and hold us back. Our lives become determined by the actions of others who have harmed us. It's a burden that we carry, especially if we wait for karma. If we wait for someone that has harmed us to be harmed back, we will be waiting for a long time and waiting for something that we don't need. I've been working on this in myself. Sometimes when I find that others have been harmed by someone, I think to myself, I hope their ketchup comes out runny for the rest of their lives. You ever had that where you like go to put it on a hot dog and you just tomato water? I want that for them, right? I want them to chip a tooth, and I want it to be in the front, not the back. I want them to never find a parking spot. I want them to have to walk through hot parking lots. Like, I want those things. I am not holier than any of thou. I know that as long as I desire that, I will never achieve the thing that I actually need, which is freedom. Because the burden that I carry has been lifted, and I have to stop trying to carry it. But let us not mistake the radical message of the gospel for a milquetoast message on kindness. Yes, I want you to be kind, but it's so much more than just that. What does our passage say? Therefore, just as our Heavenly Father is complete, everyone say complete, in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. See, Jesus makes it clear. This false hope of karma leads to a fractured life. It leads to something called disintegration. Everyone say disintegration. And I'm not talking about what happens to a receipt you leave in your pocket when you put it in the wash. I mean like something that is not fully integrated, something that is not running properly. All right, this is a weird analogy. Stick with me. Lime Street. You guys know Lime Street? It's up in North Lakeland, kind of near, actually, the conference office, that thing that looks like a bank. That's actually where the bishop works. There's a road there, and maybe you don't experience this, but I do every time. You get on that road and it goes, da-gung, 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 da-gung. You know what I'm talking about? You feel that ba-bump, 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 and you think, I have a flat tire. I just bought a tire. I just bought a battery for this car. I can't believe I have a flat tire, bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. You feel this disintegration. You feel a problem you had to solve. My car makes a really terrible noise, and I don't know what it is, and I don't want to find out. I just know that something's not right, and future me is going to have to deal with that. All right, here's where the analogy lands, and you go, wow, this guy's good. I wonder if us holding on to karma is the ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump of our lives. The noise that we have in our relationships. Something that we can live with. It's okay. We can carry on. But I'm not going on any long road trips in the Civic anytime soon. Right? He's pretty good. Hey. No, don't do that. If I'm on Lime Street for too long, I pull over to check. Our lives have a level of disintegration when we hold on for fairness, when what we actually need is justice. The burden you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. So I'm not telling you just to be kind. My message today isn't just forgive as I have forgiven, which is in Ephesians chapter 4. My message today is to pray to God that your idea of justice might be formed in God's image, not the world. Pray to God that your idea of justice might be formed in God's image, not the world. Because friends, I'm tired of trying to get even. I'm tired of wanting things to get even. I'm tired of waiting on the scales of existence to level out. Instead, I want to have a different definition of justice. Because the burden that I carry has been lifted, and I'm going to try and stop carrying it. Because we take a tally of the faults of others, we also end up on the stand accused. When we tally up all the failures and the mistakes of others, we begin to find that we ourselves have also had failures. We end up pointing at ourselves, defining ourselves by our mistakes. When we take a tally of everyone else's mistakes, we find, even if it's a small, quiet voice within us, we begin to define ourselves by our own failures. But the burden that you carry has been lifted. Stop trying to carry it. Christ's nourishing rain will fall on you and others. Know that God is at work. Here's some good news. You cannot earn terrible circumstances. Here's some truth. You cannot earn good circumstances either. I hope you get every princess parking spot you want. I hope that your teeth stay straight and you never have to buy new tires. I just want you to know that you can't pray your way into that. I want you to know that if you got to park in Goofy Lot to get to Publix, if you chip a tooth on a brownie here, don't sue us. If you burn yourself on our coffee, you didn't earn that. What I can tell you, though, is that Christ is at work in all things. All you can know is that the justice Jesus brings will make things right, not make things even. Today, around the country, pastors are going to stand in pulpits, and they're going to give a message of hope, I pray, of justice, of love, of the gospel, with full knowledge and understanding that earlier this week, someone walked into a church and fired into a community of kids. Some kids died, some kids were injured, and everyone's life was completely changed. And all of our lives continues to be changed again and again and again and again. We live in a society where this has become far too common. And some pastors are going to get up and they're going to say, hey, here's the solution. You just need to do this. You need to vote for this party. You need to start advocating in this way. And I've been your pastor for long enough, you know that I'm not going to do that. Because I've become pretty well convinced that the solution may not be in our elected officials, but instead rests in the church. So I do look around at society sometimes, and I worry that both of our parties have an invested interest to do very little to help us. And it might be up to us. I think we might be the ones that we're waiting for. But I want to guard your heart today. When I heard this story again, when I saw that picture of the mom holding her shoes, running towards the school, I got so mad, I got so angry. I wanted not only the person that did the thing who died, I wanted everyone else that made this possible to suffer, to feel pain, to get what they deserve. But it's disintegrating my heart. It is making me incomplete. And as our society is incomplete, it is our work, friends, to make it complete, to reintegrate it, to integrate it, to put it back together. It is our job, friends. So as we pray, may we move our feet. I don't know what the solution is, but I know that the church will find it and she will share it. So my action for you today this week is that when you see injustice, I want you to ask God what God's justice would look like in that situation. That is a big old word salad. I want you to find injustice, and instead of concoct, I don't know if you do this, I have convinced many a shampoo bottle that I should be in charge, right? You know, those moments when you're trying to find solutions yourself. I want you to instead pray to God and find what God is calling you to do. Here's some good news. You are not in charge. Here's some bad news. You're not in charge. But all of us together, working together, have the next right step. I want you to pray this week and ask God what that next right step is. And the second action point for you, I want to free you up. If you've kept a record of wrongdoing, I don't know if it's literally like a notes app on your phone or if it's just a mental one, delete it. Get rid of it. Love keeps no record of wrongdoing. May you be free to be love today. Because the burden that you carry has been lifted. Friends, stop trying to carry it. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, and so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.